familiar with this passage in the life of Christ, and we want to encourage you and preach to you this morning from this event. Many of the records of the writers of the Gospels have to do with specific individuals and their relationship to Christ. And it's true in chapter number 5 of Mark's Gospel. Shortly before this, in the 4th chapter, Jesus changed his preaching in a sense. And the Bible says that he began to speak to them in verse 11 of chapter 4, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." He began, of course, with the parable of the sower and the parable of the wheat that was sown in the field and the difference in the growth. And last of all, the parable of the mustard seed, chapter number 4. And then he begins in chapter 5. And it changes here in verse 1. "They came over unto the other side of the sea," other side from Capernaum, "into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." Verse 5, "And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Verse 6, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him," in verse 8, "Come out of the man." For he had said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Verse 10, "And he besought him much. They would not send him away out of the country. There was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000, were choked in the sea. Verse 14, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Verse 16, "And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." We'll stop with verse number 20. This is a very touching picture. Certainly we can't relate to it. We're shielded away from basically most of the things that we see in this parable. We don't see people that are so possessed with demons that they are completely out of control. But this is a very real thing in the life of Jesus. First of all, and we'll give you seven things out of this, and just follow with me as you would. We see, first of all, Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee to reach one man. He preaches, basically cast out these spirits, and only one man receives him. Now, the people that knew this man and had seen these things, you would think, would marvel so that they would want to follow Jesus, but exactly the opposite we find in the record. This man is a needy man in every way that you can think of it. You know, some of the parables that we read are basically showing what we read in Isaiah chapter 6 when the Bible said to Isaiah, the Lord said to Isaiah, when he said, "Here am I, send me." The Lord told him what kind of reception he was going to get. He said, "Preach that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not hear." And Isaiah, "How long?" And the answer was, "Just keep preaching. Just keep going." This man is so needy, and Jesus, I believe, is one of the greatest missionaries to ever come into this world, ever be on the face of the earth. Many times you see him going to individuals. Think about Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus came to him, but the Lord dealt with him, and eventually he was saved. Go right through the book of John. Look in the fourth chapter and see the woman at the well. Go further in chapter number 5, see the man who was lame. Go to chapter 8 and see the woman who was living in adultery. Go to chapter 9 and see the blind man. All these, Jesus went to them personally. And beloved, you that sit here this morning, if you're saved, it's because the Lord came to you personally. Your need may not be like this man's need, but you had a need. And only God and you know how deep that need was. But Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, "Of whom I am chief." But if you're truly saved today, I believe you take issue with that. He came to save sinners, and he came to you personally. Here's a man. We see Jesus come to him with a specific need and the specific purpose of saving this man from this awful condition that he was in. Look at his condition, secondly. Verses 2 through 5 talk about it. Living in the tombs. Would you say he was homeless? He was homeless because he was driven out of society, driven out into the tombs and into the night, crying and cutting himself with stones. He was out of human control. They tried to bind him with chains. He'd just pluck them asunder. No man could tame him, the Bible says. You read the Gospel of Luke and the record of this. Luke says he was naked. Had no clothes. Wear no clothes. Night and day, crying and cutting himself out in the darkness. I know the people had to hear this. I'm sure they shunned him. They avoided him. They didn't want to get near him because he was so fearful and so fierce. But notice, this man with his terrible condition, verse 7, verse 6, when he saw Jesus afar off. You know, it's strange that the devil's always recognized Jesus Christ. People didn't. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But the demons knew who he was. Every time you see the demons recognize, they recognize Christ for who he is. When he saw him, the Bible says, verse 7, he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God, the Most High," or the Most High God. And then he makes a strange request here to me. "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Now, could he have been any more tormented than he was? He was tormented, but these demons weren't tormented. They were, I'm sure, having a great time. But you know what this request was? "Don't send me into the place of everlasting torment." They knew who he was. They knew what he could do. And they asked him not to banish them into the chains of darkness forever. He recognized Jesus Christ and he fell down. The Bible says he worshiped him. The devils worship the Lord Jesus Christ. People fail to. They won't do it. They don't want anything to do with him. But the Bible tells us this man had an unclean spirit. At the beginning of verse 2, he was a man with an unclean spirit. Now the scene changes as we look closer at it. And the Bible says, Jesus said in verse 8, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." That's why he asked, or they ask, "Don't torment us, don't send us to torment." Jesus had already commanded the spirit, "Come out of him." And Jesus asked him in verse 9, "What is thy name?" Just ask for his name. Now, he didn't ask out of necessity. He knew what his name was. He knew what he was dealing with. But he wanted this man to acknowledge, "What is thy name?" And verse 9, in the middle, he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we're many." Wasn't just one unclean spirit, but this man was filled literally in every way that a man could be filled with demons. Now, you may not be familiar with a legion, but in the days of Caesar, Claudius Caesar, a legion consisted of, and I wrote this down somewhere, 6,826 men. 6,100 men and 726 men on the cavalry on horses. Total of 6,826 in a legion. "My name is Legion. We're many." I'd say that was many, would you not? Almost 7,000 demons raging in his body night and day, cutting himself, crying out, needing help but finding none. This man was in a terrible condition. But Jesus had already commanded the spirit come out of him. You know, I thought about when Christ was on the cross, you know, he told them, "Don't you know," and I'm going to paraphrase this because I don't want to turn and read it, "but that I could pray to my Father now and he would send me 12 legions of angels." Now, one legion of demons possessed this man. Almost 7,000. Jesus said, "Don't you understand? I could cry to my Father and he could send 12 legions." Multiply that out. 12 legions times about 7,000. And these would be angels. Not wicked demons, but these would be angels who are more powerful than anything on earth. And Jesus said, "I could cry for them to come," but he didn't, because he loved me. He knew he had to die. They asked not to be sent into the place of torment. His name was Legion. His spirits aren't ashamed to beg. They begged because they knew who he was. He was their Lord. He had complete control over them. He proved it. He cast them out of this man. We're ashamed to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. They begged the Lord just for one little favor. Don't send us out into everlasting torment. Let us go into the swine. And Jesus gives them leave. He agreed to let them. Now that's pretty desperate, beloved, when you're rather go into pigs than be cast into everlasting torment. But I can understand as I read the Bible what they're talking about, can't you? That's an everlasting torment. There's never any release from that. They were active on the earth in this man. And they could continue to be active in any living thing. So the nearest thing they could see was these swine, and they asked. Fourthly, ask, just cast us into the swine. The Bible says there were 2,000 of them. Now, you see the reaction of the swine later on, but 2,000 swine, 7,000 demons. You can do the math again and see why these swine committed suicide rather than put up with these demons that had been in this man, been controlling him, tormenting him. And then we want to see not only the reaction of the spirits, but look at the reaction of the Gadarenes. How telling this is. Verse 14 says, they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what that see it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. I remember they what they expected to see when they come out there. They'd already seen many times. Screaming and crying. Living in the tombs. Cutting himself with stones. Taking the chains off that you put on, like they weren't even there. And what did they find? They saw him that was possessed with the devil. Had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Sitting. He's not running and screaming. Not running up into the hills. Not running up into the graveyard. He's sitting. Calm. He has peace. He didn't have peace before. He was tormented by those demons. They tormented him every which way they could. Made his life as miserable as any human being could be. But now here he is sitting. And he's got some clothes on. I'm sure someone found him some clothes because he wear no clothes, Luke tells us. But now he's clothed. And he's in his right mind. Is that a picture of what God does when he saves a person? Do you ever read in the book of Isaiah? He clothes us with the robes of righteousness. We're clothed. But the world we live in is dedicated to taking everybody's clothes off. They love it. They love nakedness. Everywhere you turn, you see it. They love that nakedness. Clothed. And in his right mind. Thank you, grandson. You read my mind. They had lost 2,000 swine. Now to the Jews, that was a good thing because the swine were unclean animal. They didn't want anything to do with them. But these were not Jews. These were the Gadarenes. And you'll notice, the Bible says, verse 16, they that saw it told how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart. out of their coasts. What kind of person is it that wouldn't be overcome with this? It's a person who's lost, a person who's unclean. They care nothing about the Lord of glory. The Gadarenes see a man who is in a new condition. The legion's gone. They see him sitting, not screaming and yelling and running, sitting and in his right mind with clothes on. A new man, a new person. Now what the Bible teaches us in the New Testament, put off the old man and put on the new man. Read that in the book of Ephesians, read it again, Colossian letter. Part of our responsibility as a Christian is to put off the old man, put on the new man. Now I know the world we live in loves nakedness, but I'll say to everyone, a member of this church, God hates it. One of the first things he did to Adam and Eve, when he found them in the condition they were in, he made coats of skins and he clothed them. And ever since that day, mankind without God is trying to take them off. They love nakedness. Jesus comes to a man who really needs him badly. I don't know if he fully understands what he needs. He's out of his mind with these demons. No control of himself. But now he's sitting. He's not crying. He's sitting quietly. He's a new man. He's been born again. I believe that. Christ gave him a new life. You can tell by the reaction of this man. And that's our last point. He's in the right mind. He has the mind of a new man. Jesus Christ made a new man out of this maniac. That's what he's called in most of your Bibles, the maniac of Gadara. Now, that's not good woke language in the day we're living, but it's pretty good plain language as we understand it. He was a maniac. He was out of his mind. He was out of control. He had no control of himself. People were afraid of him. They ran from him. But now he's been changed. So this man in his right mind, verses 18 through 20, when he was come into the ship, Jesus is going to fulfill what they've asked. He's going to leave. They don't want him. They're afraid of him. They were afraid of the demon-possessed man. They're more afraid of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you believe that? When he was coming to the ship, verse 18, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to be with him. Is that not the normal reaction of a person who's been saved? Think about the woman at the well. Come see a man that told me all things that ever. Is not this the Christ? Look at the blind man in chapter number 9. He wanted to be with Jesus. When God saves a person, he does something within us to make us a new person, and we no longer love the things we once loved. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. We have a new life. We have a new love. And this man experienced that. Verse 19, howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. You know, sometimes the Lord says no. We may not like that, but he says no. He is God. He is the Lord. This man wanted so bad to go with the Lord. But Jesus said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for them. Did he have a story to tell? Did he have a message for his friends and his family and those that knew him? The people even that used to run from him, does he have a story to tell them now? Jesus said, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Tell them about the compassion that brought me here just for you. Just to save you. Jesus came there as a missionary with a mission, with a work to do for one soul. But now, he makes a missionary out of the man that he saved. And Jesus said, go tell them. Isn't that what the Lord told Isaiah back in chapter number 6? Isn't that what Christ told us in Matthew chapter 28? And in Mark chapter number 15? Is it not the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? Go tell them what I've done for you. Go tell them how much compassion I had that I'd come to a man who was out of his mind, cutting himself and crying and upsetting the whole neighborhood. And I come to you and I gave you a new life. I made a new person out of you. Go to your friends. Is that not what we're supposed to be doing? He had a great message. I can't really grasp what a message he had. And the excitement that he must have had to take this message to his friends. Say, I'm the one that you saw screaming and yelling and cutting myself, but look what he's done for me. And he did it because of compassion toward me. He loved me. Do you have a message? Do you ever tell people what Christ did for you? I remember the night I was saved and I couldn't wait to get home so I could call my mom. I wanted to tell everybody. I worked in a place that was very wicked. Not saying anything against the people because there's wickedness everywhere you turn. But I love to tell them. I've been changed. I'm different. I can't share your dirty jokes anymore. I'm not going to go to the bar with you like I used to. I'm not going down to the liquor store and get my check cashed anymore. I can't even do that. I used to go to the liquor store, get my check. It was the easiest place to get it checked, cashed. We have a message. We have a story to tell. There's a story to tell to the nations, the song goes. But it's a personal story. It's something that impacted you personally. He could rehearse what the Lord had done. I had come across the sea. And when he saw him, he recognized him immediately. He cast out all those demons and now he had a new mind. And underneath all of it was the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not true with you? David said, who am I? Ron sings this song. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Compassion. He knew that underneath it all, the only reason Christ did it was because he looked upon him and he had compassion on him. How many times do we find that in the Bible? How Jesus looked when he saw the people with no shepherd, like sheep with no shepherd, he had compassion on them. And the result is in verse 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. Now that word Decapolis means 10 cities. There were 10 cities close together in that area. I believe he went to every one of them, don't you? Deca means 10 and polis means cities. And history tells us, and the map will tell you, that there were 10 cities in that close little area there in Gadarene where Jesus crossed the sea. And he went to every one of them. I believe that. The Bible says he departed and began to publish. The word publish is translated 51 times in our English New Testament as preach. Now, he wasn't standing on a podium. He wasn't pastoring the church, but he was preaching. And what was he preaching? How Christ had compassion on him. How he changed his life and made his life so different than what it was before. Is that not our message to people? You ought to be preaching You ought to be telling people what Christ has done for you. And you ought to understand this very clearly. He owed you nothing but hell. He didn't come to you personally, individually, because of a debt to you. He came because he saw what you were. He saw what you needed. And he brought it to you in the person of himself. How great things Jesus had done for him. And the Bible says, and all men did marvel. I can only imagine, best I can, how they must have listened, how they must have looked. They knew who he was. His fame, I'm sure, had spread through those 10 cities. A man that has that kind of an attitude and that kind of a spirit in him will be well known. But he could say, I'm the one. I'm he. When Jesus healed the blind man, they had a lot of arguments and quarrel between the parents. And is this the one? Ask the parent, is this the one? Is this your son that was blind? Ask him. And his answer was, I'm he. I'm the one. I'm the one that was blind. He opened my eyes and now I can see. We find that same basic message throughout the New Testament. Just a quick summary now. Christ went everywhere, preaching the gospel. But most of the time, he was seeking one individual. As I said, the woman in chapter 8, the woman in chapter number 4, the blind man in chapter number 3, or Barnabas in chapter... Not Barnabas, but... Nicodemus in chapter number 3. And the Lord saved him. He helped to bury him, put him in the ground. On and on we can go. The old man's situation was torment, shame. People avoided him. They ran from him. They were afraid of him. He was fierce, the Bible says. Because he was filled with about 700 or 7,000 demons. We know nothing about that because we can't understand it. But just take the word of the scriptures for it. It did crazy things to him. The action of those who witnessed it asked Jesus to leave. Don't want anything to do with him. But the reaction of the man that he did this for, I want to go with you. That's what church is all about, folks. I want to be where the Lord is. He wanted to go with him. Anything wrong with that? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. But you know, it's getting more and more difficult to get people to see that truth. They just don't understand what church is all about. They think it's a place to get married and a place to get buried. And that's about the extent of it. But the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll never get any closer to Christ on this earth than you get in the church, because that's where he is. The new desires that he had, and a commission that he received from the Lord. Very similar to what happens to us. Have you told anybody this week what the Lord has done for you? That's dying out, you know it is. Very little witnessing going on now. Very few people that have been saved by the grace of God take the time to tell people what happened to them. Oh, you talk about everything in the world. Politics, oh, that's my bag. Ball games, oh, that's great. The weather, that's even better. But you mention Christ, and it's almost like you messed up the party. But it hadn't changed. The commission that Christ gave to him is the commission he gave to us when he saved us. Go tell people what great things I've done for you. He saved every one of us, whether we understand it or not, from an eternal damnation. I want to preach on that this morning. I really did. Because people need to understand about hell. But I couldn't do it in one message. And I couldn't preach tonight because we got the Lord's Supper. So I delayed it. You'll get it. Hell, H-E-L-L. Taboo to a lot of people that claim they're saved. They don't want to hear about it. They think they know. But I bet I could sit down. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I could sit down with them 5 minutes and prove their ignorance real quick. They don't know about hell. They don't understand how bad it is. That's why they don't have any concern about spiritual things. That's why you mentioned Christ in their presence. They're gone. Physically, or if not physically, mentally, they're gone. They don't hear anything about it. But that's our commission. We can't be with him right now except in church. But we need to go out of here telling people what great things the Lord has done for us. When's the last time, and this is a personal question, I know, but when's the last time you talked to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a searching question, and I believe it's a good question. It's one you ought to address and you ought to look at. When's the last time you told somebody what Christ did for you? May God help us. We are his witnesses. That's what Jesus said, you're my witnesses. And most people will never hear about Christ because of our failures. God forgive us. Bow your heads. Father,